two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Healthy Mind Matters on KSL News Radio.
Thanks for joining us today for Healthy Mind Matters. We are talking about pain management. With me, Kim Campani. She's the Executive Operations Director of Pain Management Services for Intermountain Healthcare, and Linda Kasten, the Senior Data Manager for Intermountain Healthcare. We've been talking about what pain is and some different strategies to deal with pain. Let's go back to something that you were saying earlier, Linda, about some things that can help. Let's talk about exercise specifically. Talk about exercise and how exercise can really help people who are suffering from pain.
Well, exercise can be a very difficult subject to approach with patients with chronic pain for many, many reasons. Patients who have had multiple surgeries have muscular dysfunction. They compensate with different parts of their bodies. So some of them, when they exercise, it actually makes them hurt more. So it's really important to find the right type of exercise. The other thing is exercise, as we know, increases the number of endorphins you have. And so as a result, patients who have chronic pain sometimes don't have the hope or feel hopeless. They have negative thoughts. And by increasing their endorphins naturally, it also can help decrease their anxiety and their depression. Exercise can help them focus and also make them feel good if they set a goal for themselves. For many patients who have chronic pain, just getting to the mailbox, walking to the mailbox, may not happen each day. Someone else may get their mail. So if they set a goal to walk halfway to the mailbox each day, it's small incremental steps when you work with exercise. And unfortunately, when people say go out and exercise, a lot of people think, oh, I can't do an aerobics class. Are they kidding? Or I can't run. Those types of exercises are very, very hard on the body. And I wouldn't suggest it, but I would talk to your physician and work with a physical therapist to see what type of exercise is best for you. And physical therapists can actually develop individualized plans. And that's really important with chronic pain patients, that the type of exercise, the type of treatment is individualized based on that particular patient's needs.
And I'm hearing the word plan, and it sounds like the plan is the most important part of this, because they do need to start more slowly and pick the right exercise and have a goal.
Yeah, planning is really important. And that, again, is hard for chronic pain patients. They don't know how they're going to feel when they get up in the morning. So planning is also a very difficult strategy. So, and I know you had Rebbe Burdett, who offers the Live Well with Chronic Pain program in the state recently. And that program teaches patients how to pace themselves. And I want to say pacing is probably one of the most important skills that a chronic pain patient can learn. I've taught that program before, and it's interesting to me to see how many patients in those classes are type A personalities. They don't pace themselves. They go until they drop. And so literally learning how to pace is a really important skill for chronic pain patients and helping them plan and organize their day.
The next thing that you talked about, Kim, was mindfulness. How to be mindful about your pain. Talk about the importance of that and really knowing where the pain's coming from, right?
Right. And mindfulness is a is something that's really exploding right now in the area of pain management, where patients, you know, we, like Linda mentioned earlier, we have such busy, hectic lives, and sometimes we're just, the pain that we're experiencing can consume us, and that's all we think about. But being very, you know, finding those approaches for on an individual, for an individual, to help them to become become mindful, relax, kind of look at their pain in a different way. There are many different apps on phones now that people can download, mindful apps. There are behavioral health specialists who can help with mindfulness. In fact, there are even many mindfulness classes that are offered for pain patients where they can go and learn, okay, how can I, you know, calm myself down regarding this pain? How can I self-regulate so that maybe I don't need as many pain medications? I can do this just by having some different thinking patterns. They cover things such as deep breathing and relaxation techniques, especially if you're experiencing a flare-up or tremendous amounts of pain at a time. Different approaches to help us to relax. And I think that's important, is, again, remembering that pain is... there's so many different components to it, and trying to tackle each of those individually can really help us to improve pain control all around.
And I'd like to add to that, in that mindfulness or meditation, two different strategies, can be very helpful because it helps you to focus on something that has purpose. And versus, as Kim said, focusing on the negative thoughts and the pain. The nervous system, as we know, is very involved in the pain mechanism. And so figuring out ways to calm yourself down in difficult situations, to, as they said, pace. If you pace, you're not working at a high speed. You're calming your nervous system down. And so the idea that mindfulness, if you focus on something on a daily basis and try to relax your body and use that skill when necessary, if you're in a very difficult situation, you use it. To help you sleep, you may use it. So there's all types of opportunities to use the tool. The frustrating part about mindfulness can be that it takes time. It's a skill that many people will tell you it takes a lifetime. But with each day that you practice, you improve and you realize how it can impact your life and impact your pain.
All right, let's take a break. Are mindfulness and meditation different? I think there are different skills, aren't they?
Yes.
And we'll talk more about meditation when we come back on Healthy Mind Matters.